Good morning, everybody. My name is Clayton. I'm the lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us today. If you're watching online, today is going to be an awesome day. As just like Deborah said, we are continuing our series called Clayton's Wilderness Survival School. It's going to be okay. You're not going to learn anything about the physical wilderness. We're going to look at some spiritual wilderness going on in our lives today. So, your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to be. And as you're turning there, I just wanted to say something that all of those of you guys who have lived your whole life in eastern Oklahoma, let me just say, you've got it really good. Like, it's nice around here. The grass is nice. There's trees. There's tornadoes and stuff like that, but forget about that. But there's lakes. There's rivers. It's really, really nice. Well, when I was growing up, I grew up like in the real wilderness of West Texas. And let me just tell you, for those of you who've never been there, if you drive there or if you fly there, everybody does the same thing. They look left and right and they go, ugh, I don't want to be here. Like, why would anybody live? It's flat. It's arid. It's just like a desert. It's not pretty. You feel like you could walk 100 miles in one direction and never hit a town or a road or something like that. It's just like, why do people live there? It's because of the oil that's in the ground, okay? That's why people live there. But it's just it's a difficult place to grow anything. It's just it's a rough place to live. And there's something there that we don't have here. And what I like to call, it's called stickers. Anybody ever known a sticker? In fact, I'm going to show you a picture of it on the screen. There's some stickers. They're awful. Like, they will take over your yard. They are everywhere. There's times in the year where you just don't go outside. You don't let your dog go outside. I mean, it's just pee on the concrete. It's going to be okay. Like, do not go that's terrible. Do not go on the grass, because they're just awful. I mean, some of you guys like Dippin' Dots. I call them demon dots. Okay. They're just demon dots. They just go in the grass. And if you get one on the bottom of your foot, like, your day is ruined. I mean, I remember one time, I don't care how strong of a man you think you are, if you get one of those in your skin on the bottom of your foot, like, your day it's over. I remember it happened to me, and I come hobbling inside, and I tried to take it out, and it was just like stuck in my skin, and then it broke off like in my skin. And so I was like, Holly, help me. And so I do like the manly walk, you know, into the house, and I get on the couch, and I put my foot back, and I'm like, you've got to try to get this stupid thing out of my foot. And so she gets the needle and the tweezers, right? You know, and you're like starting to do surgery, and she's not qualified to do that, by the way. And it was like the worst pain of my life. It was 15 years ago, and I still remember it to this day, because I don't know what is the bottom of your foot. It's so painful. And every one of you have experienced something like that, either physically or in your life, when it comes to something that's just, it's stuck on you, and it doesn't matter how much you try, it's painful, and it just, you can't get rid of it. It's a thorn of wilderness. Now, do you know what your thorn is? Look, it's not your spouse next to you, okay? Your spouse, your kids are not your thorn in your life, but every single one of us, we go through thorns that hurt, that are painful. And the question for today is, why? Why do we go through those things? Well, in Scripture, there are lots of different thorns that are brought up. In fact, at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, thorns show up on the scene, and the Bible says that they are actually a curse because of sin in our lives, that we are going to deal with physical thorns in this world. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is giving a parable and teaching, and he's talking about the different kinds of soil, and he says there is a soil that's just full of thorns, and it's kind of an example of being spiritually choked out in this life. So thorns are this thing that are tough, and they're difficult, and they can hurt you in really bad ways. In fact, they hurt Jesus as well. Thorns are an example of suffering. And towards the end of the Gospels, Jesus has a crown of thorns put on his head. In fact, I got a crown of thorns right here. This is one that we had made, and I'm just gonna be really careful with it because it is brutal. We actually, on our church property, we found this vine with these thorns, and we turned it into a crown of thorns. And I have I've accidentally poked myself a couple times with this, and it's got some toxin in it. I don't know, like your hand swells up. It's just, it's a bad day. And I can imagine, or I can't even think about like how Jesus endured something like this with these thorns just shoved down into his head and his face and the difficulty he went through. Like thorns are not something that we should desire, right? We avoid those things like crazy. And so today we're going to look at another like super Christian, okay, who actually dealt with thorns just like you and I do. In fact, I'm gonna take my pliers here and I'm gonna take one of these thorns off because I want to use it today as an example. Almost got myself. And so we're gonna kind of hang on to this because I think it's gonna be a good example for us looking at the thorns that we deal with in this life. So today, the super Christian we're gonna look at is Paul and his life and the thorns that he dealt with. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the middle of verse 7, we're going to start. And here's what the Bible says. Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh," and he calls it a messenger from Satan, okay, "to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." He's saying it was so difficult that I've got a nickname for it. It's a messenger from Satan. Now, Paul's thorn was not something that's just randomly happened in his life. In fact, there was a reason why the Bible says he was given this thorn in his life. It talks about how he kept him from becoming proud. What was going on? Well, if you ever come to a verse in scripture like this where you're kind of going, I don't know, understanding what this is all about, here's a great thing that you should do. You should just go back and read the previous chapters and kind of figure out the context of what's going on. And we can do this exactly in this scenario. In fact, in the previous chapter, Paul was having to deal with some difficult people. There were some people in chapter 11 who were kind of, he made a funny name for them. He called them super apostles. There were people that came behind him in Corinth, and they were saying, "Hey, we're smarter, we're better looking than Paul, we have better degrees than he does. I mean, we are way better than he is, and so you should listen to us. I know our gospel, what we're trying to preach, is different than Paul has, but we have better credentials." And so Paul caught wind of this, and he had to, in a way, defend himself. It's one of the weirdest chapters in the Bible because Paul, theologically, kind of just says, "Hey, I got a time out for a minute. I just need to talk to y'all as a family. I've been with you guys for years. I miss you guys. I'm writing this letter back to you, and I just need to take a break here." And he says, "I don't want to do this, but I just need to brag a little bit, okay? I need to defend myself. They've given all their credentials. Let me give my credentials about why you should listen to me." And in the middle of it, he says, and there's one other thing that I need to share that kind of says, hey, God is actually trying to speak through my ministry. And he says, "I got to see heaven." You see, 14 years before he writes this letter, God gave him a vision. It's the only place in scripture where Paul talks about it. It's not something that he wanted to brag about. In fact, God told him, "Don't talk about it at all." But Paul's like, "Hey guys, I need to tell you all something that happened in my life, and it was incredible, and I got to experience heaven." Can you imagine experiencing heaven today? If you and I one of us had a vision, like God actually took us to heaven, and we had this incredible moment, this incredible experience, and we come back, what would we do? I think what would happen is we would use that as a source of pride. We'd say, "Guys, you got to listen to me. Because, man, I saw something that none of you got to see." You know what we do? We would write a book, okay? We would put it on Amazon. We would start like a book tour, a speaking tour. We would have like create a podcast about it. And we want people to know about the experience that we got to experience. Yet Paul was like, no. I God told me not to talk about it. But this did happen. And in his life, what it did is that those experiences became a pride magnet for Paul. Paul, the spiritual guy, the spiritual leader, all the things he got to do and experience and see, those things could have puffed him up to the point where he's saying, "I'm better than everybody else." And look, in our lives, we have things that are pride magnets for us as well. Like fame is a pride magnet. Success, that's why we chase after those things. Wealth. The Bible talks about how we need to be careful about those things because God knows how we are like. We will chase after things that make much of ourselves. And so, to keep Paul humbled and to keep him grounded, the Bible says that God gave him a thorn. What in the world was that? Well, we do not know what the thorn was. People speculate. A lot of times we kind of put our own lives into Paul's life, into the Bible, and say, well, it must have been this, because I'm dealing with this. And maybe so. It could have been a physical thing that he was dealing with. It could have been emotional. It could have been spiritual. It could have been relational. We don't know what was going on to him, but we do know this. It hurt terribly. It tormented him constantly. He hated it. He wanted it to be gone from his life. It was his wilderness. And from his wilderness experience, there's some things that you and I can learn today. In fact, there are four principles about pain and suffering that we need to wrap our minds around. The first one is this. Like it or not, God is a thorn giver. Do you hear me? God is a thorn giver. You may not like that. I don't like that. I don't like the idea of these thorns being our lives. And yet the Bible says that God is actually the one who gives thorns. This thorn was given to Paul. It wasn't, now here's the thing we got to realize. It wasn't a punishment for sin. Because Paul's going to go on to brag about it. He's going to say, I want to boast about this thorn. Okay, so it's not a punishment for sin. It was something different. The Bible talks about how it was actually kind of like a gift. It was a gift given to Paul by God. It was a gift with a purpose. And the purpose of this gift, based off of verse 7, was to humble him and to make him more dependent on God. Now that may sound crazy, the idea of God hurting us, God causing pain in our lives. But think about the thorns that you have, the ones that it wasn't your fault. You didn't ask for that cancer diagnosis, right? You didn't ask for that tragedy to happen in your life, that car wreck to happen. You didn't ask for that relationship to fall apart. And in fact, you didn't do anything to cause it, and yet it still happens. And so the question is, why, God? Why is this going on? And man, I'm just praying and begging for you to take it away. In fact, this is exactly what Paul does. Look at verse 8. Paul goes on and says, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. I tried everything for this to end in my life. He wanted it gone. And that's the truth for us. So there's so many times where we pray, God, can you fix this? God, this is awful. This is terrible. Will you fix this? I'm not saying that's a bad prayer. It's a prayer that Paul prayed. We got to be careful, because sometimes when we pray for relief, what we're actually praying for is to be free from needing God. And this is what was going on in this moment. God was trying to put Paul in this different kind of position where he desperately needed him. And sometimes he's putting us in that position through the pain and suffering that we're going through. And we're just saying, God, get me out of it. But God loves us too much to take us out of things that bring us closer to him. He wants us to be close to him. And sometimes pain and suffering is what happens, what we need to humble us, to make us dependent on him for a purpose. Look at what God's response is to that prayer. Look what verse 9 says. Jesus himself says each time, he said, my grace is all you need. This was God's response when Paul says, please, God, get me out of this. I hate this. This is terrible. Every single day I wake up, this is a part of my life. Would you please fix this? In fact, if you would just fix this, everything would be okay in my life. And God says, no. My grace is all you need. And something we got to realize is that when God says no, it's not rejection. It's redirection. God isn't rejecting us. He's just redirecting and positioning us for something greater. As a pastor, I get the privilege of preaching my sermons or talking about my sermons to my family before I even preach them, okay? Like some of you guys, you'll come after the service and you'll talk to somebody about the sermon. I talk before the sermon even happens. In fact, this weekend, Hannah and I were driving in the car. We were driving back from kind of an ending to something really special in her life, which was her softball career. She's been playing softball since she was just tiny, a little kid, and she's a senior in high school, and she just finally finished their last game at the state tournament in the semifinals, and they lost, and it was a difficult moment, and Hannah just realized something in that moment, that she's like, I'm never going to play again. And one of the reasons she's never going to play again is because of how life is, like the cards that have been dealt to her. You see, several years ago, Hannah she hurt her hips. She had like just several injuries, and she ended up having three hip surgeries. Like, what teenage girl wants to go through three hip surgeries? It just kind of just changed the trajectory of her life. And I got to talk with her a little bit about that and help her to realize that, look, she and I are very, very similar. I had several surgeries for my shoulder when I was in high school, and it changed my life. Like, the way that I thought my life was going to go, all of a sudden it changed. And one of the things was is that I look back on now, and I got to share this with Hannah, that I realized that I was a pretty prideful guy. Like, it was all about me and my life. And God had to humble me. And I truly believe that one of the ways he humbled me is through some physical pain. And maybe the same thing, that God is trying to do something in my daughter's life that she may not be able to see or recognize now, but someday she might be able to see that God was positioning her for something greater than if everything was perfect in her life. Which brings me to something else that I realized about this passage, that it's this, that the one that he uses greatly, God also pains deeply. Sometimes the people that God uses the most, he has them go through some really difficult things. Happened in Paul's life, but guess what? It also happened in Jesus' life, right? Did you know that Jesus, he went and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane three times for God the Father to take the cup of wrath that he was about to drink. Okay, this idea of him getting up on the cross, it was looming in front of him, and he prayed, if there's any way that this changes, and God the Father told God the Son, no, I got something different for you. I'm positioning this moment for something greater. And this is what God does. God doesn't make life easy. I mean, come on, guys. God doesn't make life easy, but he uses these thorns to make us useful and prepare us for something greater than what we could ever imagine. You see, Paul wanted this thorn to be gone. And I'm just telling you, there's some thorns in my life. I'm like, God, would you please just take these away? And I believe there's thorns in your life as well. What I love about God is God uses those things and he gives us something greater. God has something that's more beautiful than no thorns. God has something more beneficial for you than no thorns. You know what it is? It's his grace. Jesus says, look, my grace is actually all you need. You don't need these thorns to be gone. You just need my grace. Even in the middle of pain. And Paul understood pain. In fact, if you want to relate to someone who's going through it, just read all of 2 Corinthians. This is pretty much the theme of 2 Corinthians is, I'm going through it right now, guys. That's what Paul's pretty much saying through the whole thing. He talks about pain all the time, but how God is using it for incredible purposes. In fact, in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about being crushed and overwhelmed and how life is just so difficult, and he describes it. But he says that in the middle of that, God is teaching me to trust and to rely on him. In chapter 4, he talks about how our bodies are like fragile clay jars. Can anybody relate to that? You know what I'm talking about? Like, everything just hurts all the time. He's saying our bodies are so fragile, and yet the Holy Spirit lives inside of us as this treasure of God, and this incredible opportunity to use our lives for his glory, no matter how difficult life can be. In chapter 6, he talks about how he was beaten. He talked about these missionary journeys, and his team was beaten. They were poor. They were destitute. They were ignored. I mean, they went through it, and yet in the middle of that, in the middle of something that we might look at today as like a failure of some of these trips, instead he realized that God gave them joy in the middle of it. And the spiritual growth and these spiritual riches happened because of the pain that they went through. And it was weakness. That's a lot of people in that culture thought of it as weakness. It's like he's not any good because of the pain he's going through, because of the suffering he's going through. God hates him. God is punishing him. Let me just say this. If you feel weak right now because of some thorns that you're going through, you're not useless. Instead, you're being positioned. I truly believe you're being positioned by God for something greater. You see, Jesus went through weakness as well. So when you feel weak, just know that you have a God that loves you, and he's gone through it as well. Jesus, he humbled himself. He's God himself. He came down to this earth to be weak, just like we are weak. Let me explain it to you. Jesus was a baby. He cried. He had his diaper changed. The Son of God, God himself, had his diaper changed. That's some serious weakness. He grew up and people ridiculed him and accused him of things, spit in his face, slapped him in the face. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was hung up on a cross and he died in shame. That is some serious weakness. But here's the great news. This is the good news. Jesus' weakness of him dying on the cross for you is our salvation. From weakness comes something incredible. God was using that moment to change our lives. In fact, I think that the cross is the ultimate thorn of what he went through, this pain and this suffering. But what it did is it produced incredible amount of grace that is poured down on us when we choose to put our trust and our hope in Jesus. It's the greatest grace we've ever known. Which brings me to the third principle for today. Based off of this pain, that if the thorn is from God, it must be for your good. Look, even the thorn of the cross is for our good, which is kind of crazy to think about. And Paul finally recognized that his thorn was actually something that God was using, and it was for his good, because his attitude changed in the very next verse. Look what happens in verse 9, or halfway through verse 9. He finishes what Jesus is saying. Jesus says, "My power works best in weakness." He told them that. God said, "Look, my power is going to be most useful and most seen in your weakness." And Paul says, "Oh, I get it now. I realize now that this thorn that I've been praying that God would take away, it actually has a purpose." And he goes on and says this, "So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses." Who says that? That's crazy. No one goes around and talks about how terrible their life is and all the problems going on in their life. No, that we want to brag about all of our accomplishments and the good things. And Paul recognized that, no, when I am weak, then God has a chance to be seen by people more than if it was all about me. He says, "So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecution and troubles that I suffer for Christ." He talks about you taking pleasure in it. What kind of weirdo does that? Who says, "Thank you, God, for these thorns. I take pleasure in all the pain and suffering in my life." But he recognized something. He recognized this, and he says this at the end. "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." Meaning that God is working through me in my life. His strength, his power, his grace just rises to the top when there's these thorns going on in my life. And I love how he says something. I underlined it up on the screen when he says the power of Christ can work through me. Now, the New Living Translation we're using right here doesn't do a great job of translating this moment, because it actually says that the power of Christ rests upon me. Rests upon me. It's this Greek, it's this Old Testament phrase of this idea of God setting up his tent over something, okay? God's grace resting upon something. It's this idea of the tabernacle in the Old Testament, and it said that God is the same verbiage, same language, that God would set up his tent over the people. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, "I am setting up my tent over those who are weak." Look, God doesn't exclusively dwell with those who have it all together. The famous people in our culture, the powerful people in our culture, the flawless people in our culture. He doesn't just bless those people. Yet that's sometimes how we see it. Those who have it all together and everything that we've wanted, we say, "Man, God must be blessing them and not blessing me." But the truth is, Jesus dwells. He sets up his tent over those who are humble. And he sets up his tent and he dwells with those who are hurting. Like, this is how this message speaks to me, that in my line of work, it's easy to look at the megachurch pastor as the one that God is blessing. But in this passage, I'm recognizing and seeing that, no, God is resting upon the small church pastor that no one knows, but is being faithful in the middle of pain and suffering and struggles, wanting to be like somebody else. God's saying, "No, I'm with you." Jesus rests upon, his grace rests upon the mom who is just trying to make it. And they're struggling with their own things. They're struggling with their own mental issues and pain and suffering and physical issues, and yet they're trying to take care of their family, and it's just a struggle. It's a continual struggle. He's with the dad who's working multiple jobs and trying to provide for his family and feeling like a failure. He's with the teen who feels that they're unseen, that no one is thinking about them. They feel like they're just kind of left out. He's with the senior adult who feels like their place in this world is changed. They kind of feel forgotten. And they used to feel like they were a better, you know, member of their community and a big part of their church even, or their family, and they kind of just feel like everybody has moved on. It's a difficult place to be. God is with the family who's struggling just to make it to Christmas. Anybody know a family like that? You might be one of those families. You're not even thinking about Christmas gifts. You're just like, how do we even make it to Christmas? The Bible's saying, God is saying, I'm with you. I'm resting, my grace is resting upon those who are hurting and struggling and have some thorns in their life that are hard. Look, here's what's beautiful about God. His grace, it shines the brightest against the backdrop of our human frailty. When we can't play God in our lives, we can't fix it, God shows up in incredible ways. And he gets the glory even for the difficult things. There's this great example of it from this lady named Henrietta Mears. And you probably don't know who she is, but if you're a part of a small group or a Sunday school class, let me say this. She has been influential in your life. She was a prolific writer, and she got to shape how we do small groups today. In fact, she was one of the mentors of Billy Graham, okay? She did some incredible things in her life, and yet she was blind. Her thorn was her lack of sight. And she said something that's just so fitting for this moment. Here's what she said. She said, "My greatest spiritual asset has been my failing sight." Not all of her books and all the people that she knew and all the influence she had. She said, "No, my greatest spiritual asset has been my failing sight." Why? "For it has kept me absolutely dependent on God. Look, I've never needed God more than when the thorn was a part of my life." And she thanks God for it. She says, "This is my greatest spiritual asset." So let me ask this. Do you know what your thorn is? Do you know what your thorn is? I think every single one of us, as we're talking, like you're going, okay, that's my thorn. Or I've got like five thorns going on. It hurts, doesn't it? They're not fun. But the question is, how do you handle them? How do you deal with them? Which brings me to the fourth principle for today. Look, if you want to deal with the pain, here's what you need to do. You got to press into his grace. God, we're asking God to take the thorn away, and he's saying, "Look, I've got all this grace for you. Chase after that. Lean into that. Hunger for that." Look, God may, he may remove the thorn. We pray for God to remove thorns, but if he doesn't, are you okay with that? He may not remove the thorn, but he will always give us grace. He'll always provide grace for us to be able to walk through the thorn. One of the easiest ways for me to kind of understand this whole passage of what God is doing is kind of go back to that idea of the stickers when I was growing up. And you're walking out in the backyard and it's just awful and terrible and you can't walk on it. And grace is like putting on a good pair of shoes. It's got some thick soles. And the thorns may not be gone. They may still affect my life, but God gives me the grace to walk through them, to be able to handle them. And I don't get the glory for it. God gets the glory for it. Look, I don't know what you're walking through, but God will help you get through it. You may have a chronic illness that you didn't want. You have some mental health issues that you know that are going on, and you hate them. They're a thorn that you pray that they would just change in your life. Maybe you've got a broken body. I mean, I can attest to that. I feel like I'm 85 years old right now, okay? You got a broken body. Maybe you got broken relationships. You got some financial hardships. You've had tragic loss in your life. One of the hardest thorns is sometimes your kid's thorn, your spouse's thorn, and you having to walk through that with them. You know what happens? We naturally say, God, where are you? And why? What have I done wrong? We have this idea that, look, God only blesses us if we do right. And when we do wrong, he's going to punish us. And so I must be doing something wrong. Even Paul dealt with this. The people back then dealt with this. In fact, Romans 8:35. Here's something that happens. Paul asks this. He says, does it mean, when those things are going on, does it mean he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death, does it mean that God doesn't love us if we're going through these thorns in our lives? And the answer is no. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. All it means is that his grace has a chance to get deeper. Look, his grace doesn't fade in your life when you're going through difficulty and going through thorns. It has a chance to get deeper and more meaningful as you rely on him and say, God, I can't do this anymore. And I recognize that I am not God. I can't handle this. I can't make this thorn go away. It just will not come out. But I'm okay with it because it gives me a chance to lean in to you. Look, so instead of asking why, God, maybe another question, it's okay to ask God why. But another question is, God, what are you up to? God, what are you teaching me? How are you growing me? What are you asking me to do in our relationship together? Are you drawing me closer to you to where I'm not relying on my talents and abilities and everything perfect in my life? Instead, I'm relying on you. Here's what we need to do. As you pray for God to handle the thorns, I think we also need in our prayer life to just thank God for the thorns. That may be the hardest prayer to pray, to say amen to the thorns. God, I'll praise you if you take them away, but if you don't, I'll praise you even still. Because in the middle of my thorns, I get to know you. I get to grow with you. And your grace pours out on me. And I truly believe you're using me and positioning me for something greater. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the thorns. That may be a really hard prayer to pray, but God, we do. We thank you that we get to trust in you deeper and lean on you, to hold you tighter. Lord, the truth is if everything was perfect in our lives, we would forget about you real quickly. We would think that it's all about us. But instead, Lord, life is difficult, and you allow these thorns. They're gifts. And that's so weird to think about, but Lord, when we truly recognize that these thorns are opportunities for us to trust in you more and to receive your grace upon grace upon grace, it changes us. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room who's going through difficult things that maybe it wasn't sin that caused it. It's just something that happened. They didn't ask for it, but it's a part of their life. And they're asking why. And they're asking, where are you? I pray that maybe their prayers would change. They begin to trust you, to seek you, and to recognize that you're positioning them for something greater, where you can get all the glory in their life. I pray, Father, for anyone in this room, anyone watching online who's never trusted in you, and they're recognizing today, but maybe the first time, the amount of pain and suffering that Jesus went through on our behalf to pay for their sins. I pray that today might be a day of their salvation, where they would say yes to you. They would ask for forgiveness and repent of their sins. And Lord, that you would change them. You would make them new. You give them purpose in this life. They may be able to experience heaven someday with you. And you get the glory for all of it. Lord, we don't like the thorns, but you have a purpose for them. Help us to trust in you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.